Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it is me, Ellie Gibson.
Great news!
How is it news? I'm saying it. It's the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's not newsworthy, is it?
Oh, isn't it?
It's just a fact.
It's always great when you're here, really.
Own house. Okay, right, yeah. This is where I spend a lot of time, actually. Yeah,
yeah. It's nice. No, it's good. Anyway, we've got a guest, Ellie, and her name is Sophie Hagen.
Not news.
Hello.
We always have a guest. Hello, Sophie Hagen.
I wasn't sure if it was one of those where I wasn't allowed to speak yet.
Like, no, you're allowed to speak.
Ellie, Sophie is an award-winning comedian.
Multi-award-winning
comedian.
How many awards have you won, Sophie?
Oh, it's just a lot, isn't it? It's
so much, just so many.
It's
just
not even a number.
It's not time to mention them all, is there?
What's your favourite one? What's your favourite award?
The family dentist told me that I had the best teeth of the family. And I was like, you have no idea how much this means to me.
I don't need to go to Edinburgh this year. That's all I need. That's all the praise I need.
I'm really into praise. Doesn't matter where it comes. Like my, this is. I mean, I hope this isn't dark, too dark. My therapist told me that I'm such a special case that I might be like a case study in like her future work with like other therapists.
What? Like but, that sounds like you're a serial killer. Like
I know. I was really like, oh my god, really. Yeah.
If you kill again, Sophie, if you get to 9,
if you need a quote or anything, I can like help you out. Like, do you need like to see my diary or something? Like,
oh my god! So that's But any actual comedy awards you're quite proud of?
Oh yeah,
or
yeah. Then there's a best newcomer.
So this is a big deal. So at the Edinburgh Fringe, they only really hand out two awards. One is to best established comedian, and one is to best new comedian. And that was you.
Yeah, 5 years ago.
Who
never
did you
forget.
Beat?
Never
Who did you beat?
Oh, I beat Larry Dean, which is very important to me. Because he's a very good friend of mine. And he is still angry about it, which makes me very happy. Tom Ballard. John Henry
Fell. That sounds fair.
Oh, and then Daphne. So, like, Phil Wang sketch thingy.
Okay.
And Tom Perry.
Yeah, I love that you have remembered all those names. Like there was no like, it was 5 years ago, I couldn't tell you. No, they're great. They're
absolutely listen. Yeah. And I will tell you. it's one of those things that just makes me sound like a great person, but I can't help it, I am. But I preferred the nomination bit because it was 4 days where we were like a group. And it was, I felt so connected, like more than they did, I felt so connected to the other nominees. Because I was like, oh my god, guys, we're doing well, this is amazing. And I made sure to watch almost all of them. Yeah. And because I just loved it, and it wasn't like, I'm going to see if I can beat them. I was so happy to just be like part of this.
In a little gang.
Yeah. And we just we'd already won, because, you know, being nominated is huge as well. When my manager was real... like weirded out by me, because when he told me I was nominated, I was like, oh wow, okay. And then I was like, who else is nominated? He said Larry Dean. I was like, oh my god, Larry Dean is nominated. And he was like, why do you care more about it? I was just like, that's all I can contain right now, is that one of my best friends is nominated.
You are a great person.
I'm such
Sophie
a good
Hagen.
Person. Aww. I know, but I killed a lot of people.
No, you're trying to set a record. No. Yeah, you're trying to change the world.
You are Danish, and they're famous for murders.
Exactly. We kind of have to. It's like part of our inauguration.
So, did you start doing comedy in Denmark?
Yeah. 10 years ago. Oh my god. 10 years ago.
You're so successful.
I'm also just so successful. nice, successful. I mean, it's quite amazing.
We haven't even mentioned that you're an author.
I'm an author.
And you've done...
podcaster.
And yeah, a podcaster and all the things.
I mean, guys, I used to work for charity organisations. Like, what can't she do?
Oh, right? And she designed some jumpsuits last year.
Oh, yeah, I'm a fashion designer as well. Sort of forget that sometimes.
And we first met you when we were on a Christmas podcast on the BBC's Woman's Hour, and we were allowed to drink Prosecco in plastic cups, and Jane Garvey gave us a clementine.
Do you remember when I was very inappropriate because she made me what job? It was something about what jobs you'd had or something, and I was saying that I'd worked in the sex shop to like translate the titles, and then she said, "What would the titles be?" And I was like, I don't know if that's if this is the right
BBC material.
Kind of. And she was like, "No, say it, it's fine." I was like, "I really don't think."
What were they? You can say it.
I was like, "Please, Jane, you're a very nice lady.
Jane Garvey, please." And
then this is not a recent dream, Jane.
Okay, well, I guess they'd be called like Hungry Cum Sluts 3. It went very quiet. I was like, "See? You made me do this."
But what was Hungry Cum Sluts 1 and 2? That's what I want to know. How did it become a trilogy?
In the third one, they go on vacation. Yeah, it's really nice.
Different types of a buffet.
Yeah.
First meal.
There was no 4, though. They were finally satiated in 3. Thank God. They decided not to go with full cum sluts.
The very hungry cum sluts.
No one cares about that.
You're satisfied and happy cum sluts.
Yes. Yeah. Living their best life for cum sluts. They should do that. They should do like millennial porn, like motivational
titles.
Yes,
they should.
Like,
you know. Vegan cum sluts. Yeah. Is semen vegan?
Is it vegan?
I mean,
something to ponder for later, perhaps. Yeah.
Let's take a minute. That
sounds why they haven't covered that on Woman's Hour.
That sounds very topical.
Right up there,
street. Call Jane right now. I know you have her number.
Yeah, she do.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. It's fine. We're right in there.
We just send her a text with no context.
Just hungry cum sluts. Hashtag it is semen vegan. See what she replies.
Yeah, I think so.
That would work well on that Michael McIntyre show where the six random celebrities, you should do that. That's what I'm going to do if I ever get on.
That's right, reply all!
Yeah, no, it'd be good. So you did comedy in Denmark, and then you thought, this is too easy. I know what I'll do. I'll move to another country, in another sort of 5 or 10 years I won't be welcoming anymore because they'll vote me out. And I'll do
a challenge. Yeah.
I'll do this stand up. In a different language.
Well, I moved here by... I'd done it in Danish in Denmark for 2 years. And then I was broken up with... Well, I was informed by my boyfriend that we'd never dated and that we'd just been friends all along.
Wow! He sounds amazing.
And then he cried a lot because he'd never broken a girl's heart before. I was like, you're not the victim. Anyway, so he was in that he was in musical theatre. So as a revenge thing, I went to London on vacation to watch all of his favourite musicals because fuck you.
That's quite an elaborate, expensive, harmless revenge. I like it a lot.
I spent all of my rent money on going.
Wow.
And thought, well, because it's Denmark. And I didn't appreciate it at the time, but I lived 10 minutes from the central Copenhagen in a student accommodation for £190 a month. Oh, I had my own bathroom. It's horrible.
Wow.
Why did I leave? Anyways, and then I went on vacation and I was just obsessed. So I did matinees in the afternoon. Obviously, that's what matinees are. And then I did open mics in the evening. I was like blown away. Like just that Denmark is so small. There's like 200 active comedians. So you know everyone, like, intimately, with a lot of them, very intimately. And you sort of know everyone's material, they know all of your material, the audiences are sort of the same, there's 5 open mics, 1 comedy club. So to come here, where there's just a million comedy
every second
nights,
pub.
Oh yeah. My, I could do 1 to 3 gigs a night if I was quick and I could coordinate it correctly. And oh my God, so many comedians, so much stuff to learn. So immediately, like the second I got back to Denmark after those like 7 days, I booked another trip because I was like, I need to go back. And when I went back, I was here for 10 days and I had an Airbnb in Brixton. I remember being in like, what do you call one of these?
Window. Bay window.
How do you call the glass?
She's going out foreign. In Denmark, we just line the holes in the walls with bacon, like curtains. Just bacon curtains.
It's like an alcovey kind of thing. Basically, the rain was
a bay
like,
window?
Bay window.
Sure.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound right, so I don't really believe it. So a lot of people take the piss of that. So I was just lying there in the rain, and I was like, ah. Oh. And I'd met, do you know Bobby Mayer, comedian Bobby Mayer? So I'd met him a few days before, and I'd been all like, oh God, it's real nice to be here. And he said, you can move here. And I was like, oh, it's too far away. And he was like, I'm from Canada. I was like, fair enough. So I was like, in my bed, and I was like, I'll just go. I was like, okay, this is what I'll do. I'll go and see a flat. I'll just see how it looks, right? I'll just see what would happen. Like, how easy is it to get a place? Like, I'm not obviously not going to move to another country. That's insane. So I found a gum tree that someone had a viewing the next day, and I was like, oh, okay. So I was just imagining I'd go in, there'd be like hundreds of people there all watching it, and then I would just like be able to walk around and take a look and then sneak out. So I arrived, I was the only one person there, and there was these four guys, and we had like a chat, and the whole time I was thinking, they don't know that I don't live in this country. And then I was like, okay, I'll just be like, well, so at the end of the conversation, I was like, well, I guess you'll just let me know. And they said, well, you can have it. And I was like,
oh no.
And then I just said, okay. And they handed me the contract, and I signed the contract, and I walked out to the Tesco, so I got every single pound I had in my account out and gave them all of it for the deposit and the first month's rent. And I had like four pounds in my account, which I used to go back to the Airbnb and get my suitcase and then go back. And then I sat on this bed and was like, oh, I just moved to London.
Wow.
I should call someone and tell them.
But you could just do that, you see, because how did you feel on referendum result day?
Well, it was more the sadness, because I'm not actually, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. I have settled status now, but I always knew that the vote was never about me. Like, I'm not the immigrant that people hate. Right.
Oh, we kept that from you successfully, right?
She's one of the good Europeans, Elliot.
It was very clearly
you
like
didn't get one of those flyers. Get Sophie Hagen out of Britain. That's what swayed my vote in the end, to be honest.
Just a photo of her face with a cross through it.
Yeah. Oh, you're a member of that fan club. Yeah.
It was all the guys you beat to that Edinburgh Award. They clapped together. They were like, we've got to get her out.
They've got a WhatsApp group.
Yeah, she's got best newcomer. She's got to get best old bastard. Yeah.
Listen, I wouldn't put it past Larry Dean. Like, we're currently doing a little thing where we found each other on Vikifeet.
I don't know what that is. I'm 42, so...
We've got a millennial in our midst.
Listen.
Vikifeet.
So it's like Wikipedia, but for celebrities' feet. And then you rank them. They're ranked. All of them are ranked. And then there's all the photos that people can find of your feet online.
What?
Yeah. And Larry has 2.5 stars. And I have 4 stars.
4-star feet.
Yeah, thank you.
Award-winning in so many ways.
I'm putting out my poster this year. And so at the moment, we're both trying to get our fans to rate each other low and ourselves high, because I want to win. I want to have better feet. And Larry D. So it wouldn't put it past him if he suddenly tried to get me out of this country.
You know, when I look back to a time before I had children, and I think, I had all that time on my hands. What did I do with it? It was shit like this, wasn't it?
It was.
It's getting obsessed with what strangers think of your feet on the internet.
So is it Vikifeet or Wikifeet?
Wikifeet.
Wikipedia.
Okay.
Wikipedia,
right. Excellent.
But going back to the Brexit thing, so you weren't sort of walking around the next day going, ah, all you fuckers hate me. Like,
I was basically going, oh, you're all racist. That's shit. That's real shit.
And you.
You're all racist. This is horrible. Why are you like this? Because it was, you know, no one knows anything about the EU, right? But people just know they hate refugees and immigrants. And that was what it was. It's real bad, actually. And also because around the time of Brexit, maybe before, I don't remember, but Denmark did a new thing, meaning that if you'd lived outside of Denmark for, I think, more than 3 or 5 years, definitely something I had lived... outlived, if you did come back, you couldn't get any like social benefits for like
Denmark, wow,
that's the best part.
Because we had a lady, she's not Danish, Helen Russell, but we had her on the podcast. Yeah, she wrote The Year of Living Danishly, and basically she's like, what is it, you get like a £50 note for your letterbox every day, basically, don't you, in Denmark?
I mean, it's going downhill now, but that's essentially, compared to the UK, side of it is real good.
Yeah, new it's PlayStation on your birthday from the government. That's how it works.
Unbelievable.
We had a corrupt mayor where I grew up, and he was so corrupt, and he broke the law to like so incredibly, and no one gave a shit because he was so good. So he ended up going to jail for having spent a lot of government money on wine. And he's now out of jail. My cousin used to work in a shop in that town, so he would come by and buy wine, and he would make a big thing of it, because everyone knew he was the former mayor, and he'd be like, oh, buying the wine, don't worry, it's my own credit card. And he'd be like, oh, Peter. But when I was...
So wait, he was just buying wine for his own consumption with government money?
Oh, yeah.
Just taking it home, just netting it. He sounds brilliant.
He also did... I don't know what he did. He built like a huge
stadium.
Like
a Robin Hood.
Yeah.
So when I was 13, 14, so we had a lot of Turkish... people with... There were Danish people, but they were, you know, stemmed from Turkey. Or like, their family were from Turkey. And so in Denmark, we called it like third degree immigrant, which is not a thing, because by then you're... You know,
yeah, you're naturalized.
Yeah, but that's because Denmark is racist, so that's how we call it. That's a word. Anyways, so because Peter Brekstøfter, who was this mayor, he realized that a lot of old people were racist, and a lot of young people had the risk of becoming racist, obviously, because we all have it in us. He sent all the old people and all the kids to Turkey for like 14 days. So we went as a class, like my school, went to Turkey for 14 days, traveling between like all the big cities and into the villages where the Turkish kids from our class had families. So like this troubled kid who like is now in jail, we'd go to his like grandmother's house and like meet him and his grandmother together. And it was, I mean, what a genius thing to do. So all these old people who could have been super racist, or who could, you know, were in the risk of becoming because they were scared of change and all of that, would just... go and learn that, oh, this is not dangerous.
Wow.
And we all got a computer because it was because it was unfair that some
this
people
country
had a computer.
Is made up
this well this was like our little and then it, you know, we found out he had just gotten money from somewhere, that he'd sold things he didn't own, and that's how we got the money for the computers and the travels.
He's Robin Hood.
No one cared. They were like, oh, he's very illegal. We were like, yeah, but we have computers and stuff, and went on a real great holiday.
Listen, there's a bloke down Catford who can sort you out if you want his computers. He can get you whatever you like.
I feel like this is a podcast.
If you're not worried about where it came from, yeah, no problem.
What an exclusive.
It was real fun.
See, England, this is what we're missing out on. Yeah. We have great friends in Denmark.
Oh. So you're not tempted to move back?
I'm not. I think if I was...
That sounded a bit like, you're not tempted to move back, Sophie. Time's ticking on.
Computers and your holidays.
You're not. Feel free. Don't let me stop you.
I think if I wasn't doing comedy, something like this. Like if I suddenly just wanted a real normal job.
Yeah.
I would probably move back, maybe, but I can't imagine that ever happening. And there's a lot of things that I miss.
Pastries.
I'm probably wrong, but I've never felt like pastries was a Danish thing.
What?
In Denmark, pastries.
Oh my god, we've been sold a lie.
But I don't know. I mean, I might be very wrong, but I mean,
Danish pastries.
But Danish pastries we call wienerbrød, which means Vienna bread.
But that's Austrian.
Yeah.
I just assumed you'd call them pastries.
It's a bit like French fries in France.
Yeah.
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 Sort of that.
Like my son said to me today, Mummy, Daniel bought a cat in for Chinese New Year. And I said, or as they call it in China, New Year. He didn't get the reference.
No.
He didn't appreciate it. He'll probably go in and say it at school tomorrow and get in trouble.
Yeah.
Rye bread, though. Rye bread.
And you're open... Smorgasbord.
Well, that's Swedish, but smørbrød, yes. Never did that. I'm leaving. I did not come here to be abused.
So from Denmark, comedy, and then activism. You're an activist now, Hagen.
Yeah.
What would you say is your... What's your central point?
It's fat activism. Right. I think I'm a big part of the fat liberation movement, which is essentially just be like, it's okay to be fat. You shouldn't be... discriminated against because of your size.
Mm.
That's essentially it.
How unreasonable!
you'd think it was such a thing that where most people would go, oh great, that sounds great. Do you know, like it doesn't sound. It shouldn't, in theory, piss anyone off, right? To be like, I think everyone should just be fine. I think it should be okay to look however you want. I don't think anyone should be treated badly because of something that's out of their control or whatever. But
makes people very angry on Twitter, doesn't it?
God.
Have you been surprised by that? Surprised by the pushback you've had?
I don't think I was surprised. No, I don't think I've been surprised by it. Because I think you kind of, you know, you hear it your entire life has been about, you know, you should lose weight. Mm. Thin is better than fat. Fat is bad. Fat is disgusting and it's immoral and it's lazy and, you know, unintelligent and, you know, all these bad words. So I don't think I didn't expect people to be like, oh yeah, you're right. Let's change it all.
Thank you for informing me.
But it's tired me. Like I'm tired of it. Like I speak up less now. Well, I speak up in mediums where the real annoying people don't hear it. Because like annoying people...
Like your bathroom.
All by myself under my duvet.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like I'm tired of talking about it on social media, especially Twitter, because you can't control who sees it there. So it's just annoying people with those dumb comments. Facebook as well. Then Instagram, I have quite a nice little... you can restrict your comments, so it's only people who follow you. And real dumb people don't understand that, so they'll instead DM me and go, why am I not allowed to comment? Just, are you afraid of people with other opinions? Like, oh, imagine being that dumb. And, so I like Instagram. But then, you know, I wrote my book about it, and I like talking about it on podcasts and mediums where the real trolls are not going to go and listen to an entire podcast and go through, like, anecdotes about the Danish mayor, mayor in Denmark to listen to this and then go, you said this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, exactly.
I'm a bit tired of arguing on Twitter. There's value in that, but I am tired of it.
Yeah.
Just because people will just be... Like, I saw, you know, Matt Haig?
Yeah.
He talks a lot about mental health, especially for men. He did this tweet, and it's haunting me. I've been talking about this nonstop for, like, 2 weeks now. He just wrote, like, hey, men, it's okay to cry. If you want to cry, that's okay. When men cry, it's the same as when women cry. It's completely fine, so go and have a cry if you need one. Like, the most, you know, just like a... How can anyone have a problem with that, right? And then someone commented and was like, actually, women have smaller tear ducts than men. So actually when they cry, like it hits their cheeks quicker. So actually there is a difference between men. And I was like, yeah, I'm done with the internet. I can't do this anymore.
That's something my 8-year-old would say in a particularly pedantic mood.
Exactly. Yeah. Imagine that. Just I'm like, you know what? I'm just done. I can't do it anymore.
For those of you who don't know, so Sophie wrote this amazing book last year called Happy Fat, which I read cover to cover and then wanted to shout about it to everybody and buy it for everybody. But I didn't. I just bought it for myself. But it is excellent. But
you thought about it, though. Support the counts.
And I told other people on the internet. Yeah. So
where's my fucking copy?
Such a good person. Anyway, but so the whole book is sort of you write about your own personal experiences and then you also interview really amazing fat activists. But one of my favourite people you've interviewed in real life is Jessamyn Stanley, the amazing yoga lady.
I love her so much. Like the first time I interviewed her twice actually, and just like the first time I was just like, okay, first of all, I think I'm gay, and also I'm gonna start doing yoga, so I have an excuse to message Jessamyn Stanley every single day from now on and tell her about my journey. That never happened. And I ended up doing yoga with her. Like, the only time I've ever done yoga was when she came to London. Like, she's amazing.
She's African-American. Yeah. And she's what... She's... I don't know.
She's a small fat. She's not that big.
Yeah, yeah. But she is everything that you... You know, in terms of what yoga kind of projects of, like, white, very thin, these sort of people with... Like, she is... I'm not articulating this very well because I'm slightly in love with her as well.
Yeah.
But, she... I know.
Later, so what's really great about it is how she talks about yoga in such a accessible way. So the first time I spoke to her, I was like, here are all my concerns. I was like, will I fat? Right? Will I piss myself? You know, will
yes,
I look...
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. She was just like, yeah, you'll definitely piss yourself. I fainted. I farted. She's just so honest about... Also, I was like, oh, but I'm scared I'm going to go to this yoga class and then everyone's going to look at me because I'm so fat. She was like, yeah, they definitely will do that. That's... Oh, thank you for, you know, saying that and without it being all this, everything will be fine. And then she also talks a lot about, you know, how to do yoga when you have a stomach. You know, there's certain positions. I mean, I don't know enough about it to really say what she's saying, but, you know, there's certain positions that people who are fat don't know how to get into, or like where the stomach is just in the way.
No, it was good. But she's just an amazing example of changing people's perception about what a body can do. And one of the things that you've talked about a lot is about the term body positivity as opposed to fat activism, because I think this term body positivity gets kind of rallied around. Everyone's going hashtag body positive. Mm.
So you don't like the whole body positivity terminology, is that right?
I believe that it's like almost like a necessary evil in a way. Not an evil, because that's a big word for it, but basically the fat liberation movement started like in the late 60s, and it was part of all these social movement groups, you know, the Black Power movements and the rights of like the queer people and like all these things. And it was around the same time when there was a fat liberation group who were like, also, fuck discrimination of fat people. That shouldn't be possible. That shouldn't be happening. And they had a big manifesto that was all about, you know, how the medicinal, is that a word? Medicinal industry shouldn't be discriminating, how we shouldn't be paid less, how we shouldn't be hired less, how we shouldn't be, you know, abused. And it was all about, you know, the others, like the institutions, the people, the companies, the advertising companies that are doing this to us, right? They're telling young girls to hate their bodies. Well, boys as well for that matter, but they're teaching us to hate ourselves.
Mm.
And they fought against that, like trying to make people stop telling us to hate ourselves. And then and also it's worth mentioning, these people were fat, like fat. And so most of them were basically a group of fat, Jewish, queer women and women of color, right? The people we don't see today in the body positivity movement. So then suddenly companies and capitalism just decided that, ooh, we can make money off of this, or we can direct it. So now body positivity is about, hey, you should love your body. And it's not about, like, oh, people are making... Body positivity is about you learning to love your body. Fat liberation is about how they should never have taught you to hate it in the first place.
Mm. Mm.
That's why it annoys me. It annoys me that it's not about my feelings, really. It's more about the actual institutional, systemic part of it, which is now all the focus is on these size 10 to 12, thin-ish, white, conventionally attractive, you know, beauty privileged, femme, straight, cis women, able-bodied.
I can't help who I am, Sophie. I was born this way.
I've gathered us here today to get the fuck out of my movement. Your own fucking movement, okay? then all the focus is taken away from the people who are actually causing the harm, right? And now it's all about, and then I meet so many people come up to me and they're like, oh, I actually can't love my body, and now I feel really bad because I can't love my body. And it's like, oh great, now you just have another thing to feel bad about. Before it was that you couldn't lose weight, now you feel bad about you can't love your body. And still the people who are doing this to us are getting away with it because we're not talking about it. So body positivity is just really, it's like a shiny object that they've thrown in a direction. Now we're all looking at that instead of looking at them, who are the ones who do this. And it's not as beautiful, right? Because the fat liberation movement is about seeing like fat bodies, like super fat bodies, like proper fat, people who can't fit into plane seats and people who can't buy clothes in regular stores. And it's about seeing black people, queer people, non-binary people, trans people, disabled people. It's about seeing the people who we don't naturally feel comfortable seeing because we're not used to it. So that's why it's just this like, oh, but that's all uncomfortable and complicated, because then people start talking about like capitalism and fascism, and that sounds very dark and nasty. It's much nicer to look at a very beautiful person who had like a belly roll who says, love yourself, right? That's nice. We like looking at that. So yeah, that's like a long version of why body positivity is like, but then the good thing about it is that I think people need to discover body positivity to discover fat liberation.
So it's a gateway to...
I hope
it's a gateway drug.
I really hope that people... Because the body positivity people who do it well, who do it right, like Body Pussy Panda, Megan Crabb, is huge. She has like 1.3 million followers. She makes sure to always post photos of larger people than her and make sure to like call people out on racism. And she does a really good job of trying to get people to the next step of people. And then people hopefully will probably find someone like Jess Baker, the militant baker, who's also like in between those things. And then Jess Baker makes sure to push people even further to people like Kevin Bay, who's like hardcore activist, academic, do you know? And hopefully it all gets pushed in the right direction. But I think a lot of people are body positive with like a lot of caveats, you know. Mm. Oh, it's okay to be fat as long as, you know, everyone should look the way they look as long as they're healthy, or as long as they're trying to lose weight, or as long as they're not too big, or as long as there are caveats, you're not actually body positive.
What do you say then? What would you say to someone who says, okay, like, I get it, I'm a smart person, probably woman, let's say I'm a smart woman, I know the diet industry is really bad, I know the magazines and all the stuff, it's made me feel this way, but yeah, I can't, I just don't like my body, I just don't like it.
That's so understandable, right? Like, of course you don't, like, how can you learn not to? It's so difficult, because we get these messages all the time. Hmm. So I think if it was like a friend of mine saying it, it would be, I'd just be like, well, body neutrality is a real, it's like a nice thing to aim towards. Like, you don't have to think you're beautiful.
So body neutrality is what you...
You just feel neutral about yourself. You delete all the hatred, all the negativity. You try and get out of that. And then if you just aim towards, you know, not hating your body. You don't have to stand in front of a mirror and be like, I am the most beautiful person you've ever seen in the world, and like walk around and, you know, you can build it up, and then society will just knock it out of your head the second you vocalize it. So it's more about, I think the first thing you have to do is check that you don't spread it to other people, right? That's the first thing. So, you know, your self-hatred, you know, it's the classic thing of like, don't pinch your stomach in front of your kids and go, ugh, I'm so fat, right? So then you pass it on. Or, you know, you don't tell, just try and not have it in your life, right? Just try not to encourage it, and try to not use fatphobic language. And like, that's a very nice, gentle way of getting out of it. Because as long as it's still happening, as long as you're still dieting, as long as you're still of the conviction that fat is bad, it's real hard to not cause damage and to not, to yourself and to others, basically.
One of the biggest things in your book I found was the way you speak about your childhood and how that obviously shaped how you felt about yourself. Can you tell the listeners about your PE teacher? Is that okay? Because I think that PE is one of the most damaging subjects on women's bodies, especially. And when I've interviewed other people about that, they said, oh, it's the PE teacher that said I couldn't run, or it was the PE lesson where my body didn't work like another person's body, and I hated it for that.
They're all bad people. All PE teachers are the worst people. Yeah. I'm the first, as far as I know, from what I know, I'm the first person in Denmark to ever be legally exempt from PE, because I fought the system for 7 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I was really, I mean, I've always been a bit of a difficult child. I managed to get out of PE legally, which was quite amazing.
So you took them to court? Like,
no, I just got enough official pieces of paper from various doctors and psychologists that I'd made write down that it would be physically and psychologically damning for me to go to PE. So they had to put me somewhere else.
Amazing.
Because I just didn't go. I said to them, like, I'm either not going to go to any of these classes.
Yeah.
Or you let me do something else. And they did not like me. But yeah, I had this PE teacher when I was 6, 7. I don't even remember the age, really. She was a horrible woman. And she would... So I would always try and get out of it because I was so scared of everything. And I got bullied quite a lot. So I'd be like chased around with this bat by the boys, I think. And I remember them chasing me with this bat. And I'm like running for my life. And then they caught me, and they were like beating on me. And I looked up and she was smiling. That's like my most vivid memory. And then, so I tried to fake, what's it called? Like a stiff neck. I was like, oh, sorry, I can't move. And then she would just be like, well, do it anyways. So I was like jumping on this trampoline, like, ow, ow, faking pain. And then I was like, oh, well, I can't shower. Cause that's the worst part, isn't it? Like, you have to shower in front of all the other kids. And then so I was like, I can't shower. She was like, you have to. And then she was like, no one can leave the dressing room before you've showered. And I was just like, but I can't, like, oh, I just can't even move. So she pulled my clothes off and pushed me into the shower and like forced me to shower in front of all the girls. And then when I faked I had a period, I was like 7. I was like, ah, my period. She pulled my nice work, kid me. And then she pulled my trousers and my pants down in front of everyone in the whole class and went, see, you don't. She was a real asshole. Like a real prick.
She just sounds like the worst of
Oh, she was a cunt. Like, in the book, if you read the book, I have quite a lot of compassion for her. And I'm very like, well, you know, she had her beliefs and you never know what people are going through. But that's because it's been very edited down from me being like, what a fucking cunt, I hate her.
And this is her address. If anyone wants to visit in the middle of the night.
Mm. She was horrible. Like, she was just a horrible woman.
Yeah.
A real horrible woman. So I hated PE. Always hated PE. But because I hated my body, right? Like, I hated existing in my body, doing things with my body. Because when you, that's the thing, when you're taught to hate your body, when you're taught that you're too much and you shouldn't take up space and people don't want to look at you and you can't do anything because you're so fat, who wants to just go out and, you know, move around and play, right? Mm. Like, that's not natural for you to want to do. So of course I didn't want to do PE.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and then all the other kids like teasing, and you know, you don't want to get naked in front of the other. You know, I don't remember when you stop. I guess you just never stop showering with the other people in your class. I mean, there must have been an age where
we still shower together now, don't we? Yeah, isn't that weird? Is that we're not supposed to do that
at least 3 times a day. Yeah. Always popping over here just for a quick splish splash.
Oh, your turn. I'm thinking about hungry cumstats again. At what point, though, did you sort of realise that it was all bullshit and that, you know,
when
there was
another
way?
22, 23, 21, I don't know, early 20s when I went to, I thought I could go to uni, so I studied like 7 different things at uni and then dropped out. So I was studying Russian. And
excellent.
I met,
that's easy.
It was actually my favourite one of all the ones I tried. It was real fun. I fucking love Russian. And
handy for when they take over the world as well. Should have stuck with that.
All I learned was to say, I'm one of you. Take me. I've always been on your side.
Britain doesn't want me anymore.
And then they're like, you're Danish. And you're like, okay, I'll teach you how to pronounce Hugo properly.
You know, do you need in Russia?
Chill the fuck out.
Let's get a fucking log cabin.
Oh, that's it. Oh, Putin, you just need a throw rug.
Oh, God.
To chill a bit. Have you tried chilling out? I met a fat activist, a body activist, Andrea Storgård Brock, who's still like an amazing Danish activist. And she just, like, this is no bullshit with Andrea. And she knew that I was doing comedy, and she was just like, you cannot spread your self-hatred to all these people every night, because I was doing all these fat jokes on stage. So she was just like, okay, let me tell you about how things work. And I didn't know what feminism was. I'd never heard of the patriarchy. I'd never heard of capitalism. I didn't know what liberalism, and like, I didn't know anything. And, you know, I had a very poor, came from a very poor background. You know, I didn't have any, I was the first person in my whole family to ever go to school and like uni. I had any kind of higher education. So I saw a world map when I was 18 for the first time at my boyfriend's house, and he was like, this is not okay. I was like, what's that? He was like, fucking South Africa. I was like, oh, like, I had knew nothing. And I was like, is that not China? He was like, that's Australia. Like, you almost dumped me.
You lived in Denmark. Why would you need to look at the world? You're not going anywhere. You've got a free computer.
It was basically all the things that people assume you would learn from your parents was what I didn't know anything about.
Yeah.
Amazing I got through school at all. And I'm just very clever. Oh yeah, so she taught me about capitalism and the very basic thing of you hate your body because people lie to you because they make money off of you hating your body. And I was just like, got it. And then everything that I was telling myself and everything that I was seeing on billboards and adverts and women's magazines, I just knew was a lie. And that's where it came from. I was like, oh, hold on. And it was like a long time of me just being like, wait, what? Has this been my entire life where I've been lied to? And this is actually not facts. This is someone's opinion. Then I don't have to listen to it. Holy shit.
Fuck those guys.
Holy shit. Fuck those
you
guys.
You took the green pill in the Matrix. You had like that. Yeah. All the things came
really,
down.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God. That's a lie.
Yeah.
That's a lie.
It just had to make sense to me. I just had to see it from that point of view. And I was like, oh fuck.
Yeah,
I've been wasting a lot of time.
It's wonderful that people are having these awakenings all the time. Like, we get a lot of people who come to our show afterwards will come and talk to us and go, you know, thank you for just standing up on the stage in your gold cat suits. It's nice to see different types of bodies just on stage. Just by actually being there, being seen, being, you know, not the thin, you know, not thin and not this and not that. I think we've talked about this before, we had no intention of that being the reason why we're doing it or any kind of byproduct for what we do, but just the fact that we stand in gold cat suits in front of people has a purpose.
Yeah.
I mean, we just thought we looked ridiculous, but it turns out...
I think there's something about there's two of us as well then. We've got different body types. Yeah. We have had two kids each, but we are, you know, we're standing up there together doing the same thing. Mm. We're running a marathon together. Like, it doesn't fucking matter what you look like and I look like.
No.
Also, we're the same, exactly the same height and the same shoe size, which is very handy. Very handy.
I think we've got the same shaped head as well. I think that is really true because, yeah, you know, we are different shape, but also, yeah, we've both gone through shit and we're both, you know, and I don't even want to use the word perfect body, but we're just, I think it's important. And people, sometimes I think, oh, am I showing off by saying I've run a thing? But we get so many lovely comments afterwards going, thank you, now I'm going out for a run, or I'm doing this, or I'm going to wear... No, I'm going to wear a gold cat suit or whatever it is. Yeah. But it feels like people now need the permission, or that like someone's given them the permission.
Well, if you don't, people don't know it's an option. Yeah. It's never presented as an option.
Mm.
Like, I didn't start comedy. Like, I loved stand up since the first time I saw it when I was 10 years old. And it was like the biggest moment. I was just like, oh, I cannot believe this is a thing that someone's just talking. And then it's funny. And I was obsessed with it for so many years. But I never thought, I could do that. Or like, it didn't even cross my mind. Which with every other thing I loved, like I watched Jurassic Park, I was like, oh, I guess I'm going to be an archaeologist. That's what I'm going to do.
Even though people who look at dinosaurs are paleontologists.
Yeah.
That's probably where it went wrong. Literally. All that archaeology training, and you're like, where's the T-Rex? And they're like, no, here's your dustpan and brush.
For about a year, I said I wanted to be an archaeologist. And then my mom was like, okay, I guess we'll take you to a site.
A dig.
And it was just like in the rain, and this tractor was just like digging something up. And I was like... But where are the dinosaurs, though? She was like, we're in the middle of the countryside in Denmark, and they're just looking for, like...
Really, really like, old pastries.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to do something else, actually.
Digging up old Lego bricks.
But unfortunately, and it's worth mentioning, because I always feel a bit... I want to say, you know, you can do and you should do whatever you want to do, right?
Mm.
But also, your life does get harder if you're not the... Like, there's a term within fat activism, which is the good fatty. And that's the acceptable... The only way you can be an acceptable fat person, which is if you're trying to lose weight. Or you're, like, super positive or, like, jolly. Or, you know, you're sort of buying into the stereotype or whatever, you know. So there's a thing about if you defy the rules. So if someone if a really fat person goes out in a gold... cat suit on the tube, there is a higher risk of that person getting comments and being abused by people than if it was a thin person doing the same, because people are provoked by confident fat people because you're breaking all the rules. So there is a risk, but what I usually say is it's fucking worth it, because the risk is already there, right? You could be reading a book called I'm So Sorry I'm Fat, I'll Try and Do Better, and it'd still call you things.
Yeah.
At least you're wearing what you want when you're being called things.
Mm.
But it is worth saying, like, it's very...
You have to weigh up the risks.
Yeah, well, you just have to be...
But then go, fuck
it. It's again the thing about going, it's not your fault.
Right.
Like, you're not being shouted at in the street because you're fat. It's because they have been taught something that's a big lie. It's not your... It's also not your responsibility to change so that they feel comfortable.
Mm.
But it's worth saying, if it was just cured by everyone loving themselves... That would be great. We could all work on that.
Mm.
But it's also about the kids, right? It's about all these... I get so many messages from, like, 10-year-old girls in school wanting to do, like, a school project, wanting to ask me questions. And it's always like, we hate our bodies. What should we do? And it's, like, 10-year-olds, right? So fuck what we can get, you know? Like,
What do you say to them?
I try to tell them, like, they are lying to you. They're not... You know, this is a system. This is not... It's not facts.
Mm.
But, you know, you just go... You know, what can you, and then just like, don't, you know, some grown-ups are full of shit and like, you are perfect. And if you have any inkling that this isn't how it should be, like, you're absolutely right. And listen to yourself and, you know, eat what you want. But it's so hard to.
Yeah. And you see, I mean, what's been amazing in the last year is the rise of people like Lizzo, who were, you know, loud, beautiful, talented, non-apologetic. Like, that. And I watch my 10-year-old daughter watch Lizzo at Glastonbury, and her eyes wide going, she's amazing, and things like that. I thought, those are role models.
Yeah.
You know, a few and far between amongst all the other sort of, you know, pop stars and things like that. But it feels like there's new voices. And also the fact that there is an Instagram, even though there's obviously all the photoshopped faces out there that children can choose to follow. You can curate your own kind of role models on social media as well. It's not all dreadful.
That's what's so great about this, right? Podcasting. I love podcasting so much because we could just sit down and do a podcast, right?
Mm.
Like if we pitched a talk show to some television thing or a radio thing where the three of us were talking, they'd be like, yeah, but what if it was, you know, someone who looked like this or someone who did that or had these amount of followers, or assuming that that's what's going to make the most money. And then we come in and go, well, I'm just going to do my own thing then. And then people find it because actually what they think is going to make all this money is, you know, they don't actually know what people want or what people need. And that's why I love that we can just create our own thing. And then, turns out there is an audience.
So in a nutshell, once again, fuck those guys. I feel like that's our catchphrase. Guys, I feel like that's good. Guys. Amazing, amazing. Yeah. So fuck those guys. That's the title of your book, presumably. Mm. What's the book called?
It's called Happy Fat.
Okay.
And then it has a subtitle as well, which is irrelevant. Happy Fat.
And you've got a new comedy show. What are you doing, Sophie Hagen? The Bum Swing.
The Bum Swing.
What the fuck is a bum swing?
So the whole show is it's about a sex holiday I went on.
What?
A sex holiday.
Wait, so is that holiday? Where you have a holiday, like you have time off from having sex? Because that sounds brilliant. Can you go on a club 18 to 30 sex holiday where you only have sex with people aged 18 to 30? That would be quite nice. What the fuck is a sex holiday?
It's when, I mean, I can't believe you haven't heard that. I may have made up the term. It's when you meet who you think is a stranger, out on your in another town doing a gig, and then that person is going on a business trip, and it's like, hey, we've had a one night stand. Do you want to do it again? On my business trip, and you're like, oh my god, yes please. A whole weekend in a hotel, making love, yes please.
Or banging furiously. Come on, let's be honest.
Banging furiously.
Because
you have only lived in the UK for a very short time, so you don't know anything. You don't have the same connotations and associate as people who live here. So when this man says, "Oh, it's in Swansea," you say, "That sounds lovely."
Yes,
can't wait.
Yes, I've let me just look in my Lonely Planet. Oh, it's not in here. I can't see Swansea. That's strange.
Hello to everyone who lives in Swansea.
So your tour is kicking off. Well, it's kicked off. You're doing it now.
Yeah, well,
doing it now.
I've done my. Is it called the leg? The leg of the tour.
Oh,
first
I don't
leg.
Know.
Yeah,
first leg.
First bit.
Anyways, yeah. I had a break over Christmas, and then it starts. Well, by the time we're recording this, tomorrow is the first one of 2020. It goes on to June.
June the 14th. Excellent.
Yeah, and this is also the time when I start preparing my next show.
Are you going to do Edinburgh this year?
Yeah.
Go and see her, listener. Yeah, she's excellent.
Because
we're not going this year, so we allow you to see other people. We're on a break, Edinburgh.
You can see the poster has 5 stars, wiki feet.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Oh, there we go. Well, we better round up,
yes,
as we usually do. Now, we always have a scummy mummy confession.
Oh,
I know you're not a mummy, but just something scummy will do, Sophie, if you'd be so kind.
Something disgusting.
I slept with a guy who wasn't a comedian, which was...
Whoa!
It's quite an experience. I mean, the scummy part is sleeping with all the comedians, of course, but... So this, I was very nervous because he was really hot and he was in a band. Is that relevant to the story? No.
Why not? It's colour. It adds colour.
It's a picture. Why not mention it?
Oh, so beautiful. Very good band. Anyways.
Was it Westlife?
God, I would have said it. So I was really nervous about it. Both because of that, but also because when I went into the flat, I recognised the flat and I was like, oh shit, I slept with his flatmate who was a comedian.
Oh,
it was the whole thing. Anyways. He wasn't home, so everything was fine. And so we had sex, and it was just really weird because he was so lovely. And I was like, I'm not used to that. I'm used to sleeping with narcissists. And then in the sort of wild sex thing, I smashed my head against the radiator. And I was like, this is so... you know, when you just think instantly, I was like, this is so embarrassing. It's so embarrassing. It's so embarrassing. But he was nice. And he was just like... Because a comedian would have laughed. And then we could have laughed.
I would have laughed. See, that's
of course you would have.
I'm so idiot. I was like, oh my god.
No, and
so
they would have
funny.
Been like, ha ha ha, you idiot. And you would have laughed at that, and then you would have had.
And then they would write it down.
Yeah, we'd both be able to see who can write it down quicker. Like, who has an open mic soon? Oh, can I tell this just like as a little side note because it's so good. There were once two comedians in Denmark who were sleeping together, but no one knew. And there were two.
Sorry.
Bless you.
I'm ruining your time with my sneeze.
She's allergic to Danish sex chat.
Who isn't? So they were sleeping together, but no one knew. It was a huge secret because they were very big comedians. And then there were two open mics on the Wednesday. So a lot of people would open in one open mic and then close in the other so that you could do two in one night. So I was only at one of them. And then the woman, she goes on stage and she talks about having sex on an inflatable mattress and like makes a lot of jokes about that. Then she leaves and then this guy arrives and he starts doing jokes about having sex. And it's the same joke.
Oh!
And everyone's like... Why is there such a weird reaction to this joke? Like, you couldn't really figure it out. Everyone was like,
oh my god.
You just told everyone that you're fucking that woman, and it's amazing. And it's amazing. It's the best day of my life. Anyways.
That's hilarious.
Oh, it's beautiful. So, anyways, so a comedian would have laughed, right? A comedian would have laughed and called me an idiot, and I can relate to that because it's not about, I'm not really good with compassion. So, my dad left, surprise. And So I just kept going. He was like, are you okay? And I was like, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. Just keep going. He was like, you're bleeding. I was like, no, I'm not. Shut up. Like, just like trying to like shut his mouth with my hand, which had blood on it. I was just like, shut up. Shh. Just keep going. And he was just like, but you're bleeding. I was like, shh.
It's always so sexy as well. Woman bleeding from the head. That's nice. That's
so horrible.
I think that's scene 5 in Hungry Comes That's 3, isn't it? They all start bleeding from their scalps. That's nice. A lot of men get really turned on by that.
He was so lovely and I couldn't handle it. And then a few years later, we were at a... Oh, this is the most horrible memory I have in my entire life. And then we were dancing. We met randomly and we started dancing. And then he leans in for a kiss. So I kiss him. And my mouth sort of hits his mouth. And then he pulls away. So my mouth kind of drags alongside his cheek.
Oh.
For like what felt like 4 hours, as I'm like, oh no, he didn't mean to kiss me. Oh no! And I just went into this like crouchy weird dance move where I was like covering my face like that until he left. He was like just looking at me, trying to be like, what's happening? I was just like, no.
Just stroking your own face.
Yeah, no. And I haven't spoken to him since. It was the most embarrassing thing I've ever done.
Oh my god.
Was just so, he wasn't. It wasn't a kiss. It was just a dance move.
So now, listeners who are in really long, slightly boring marriages are going, oh, I'm not dating anymore. You've provided some comfort.
All the horribleness. All the horribleness. You don't miss having sex in a bush.
Oh.
Yeah, it's sad, isn't it?
What was I say? I have a scummy mummy confession. I went for a very lovely lunch at a, what's it called? Like a spa in the New Forest, Ellie.
Oh, lovely. Yes,
yes, with the knackered mother, Helen McGinn and Ellie and Stephen. And we had lots and lots of wine at lunch. And then I remembered that I had to go and have a massage, right? And so I went to go and have the massage, and I was wearing my swimming costume. And Ellie always said, oh, if you need to do a pee during a swimming costume, all you do is you just yank it aside and do the wheeze out that way.
Yank and release, yank and release.
Yank and release.
That's a classic move.
I know, right? But I'd never done it before, and I really was full of wine. And the massage lady said, look, if you want to just go to the toilet, you can, before the thing. Anyway, and I was a bit pissed, and I yanked it across, and I didn't know which way to tilt, and instead of weeing into the toilet, I weed just onto the floor, and I watched myself do like a jet-powered whiny piss all over the floor. Oh, and only God. Separating me and the massage therapist was a sliding door.
Oh, no.
And then what I said out aloud was, why is this happening? Really loudly. And then I had to get a whole lot of towels and just like mop up the wee because I was a bit pissed. And I was like, she's just standing on the other side of the door. And splashy
can
splash.
I just question your use of the word a bit pissed?
Well, because we'd been steamed for about 3 hours.
We were quite dehydrated.
We were very dehydrated, then had a lot of white wine to hydrate myself, and then was yeah. quite
imagine
drunk.
Emptying. Oh, isn't the British way of saying a bit pissed? That means you're absolutely fucking wasted.
Yeah, yeah. Like, imagine like emptying a hot water bottle of water and then filling it with Sauvignon Blanc. That's basically what we were.
Yeah, I was like a rehydrated raisin in a bottle of sherry. Like it was. Oh,
there we go. Oh, well, there we are.
There
team.
We are.
We've done a podcast. I feel like.
Oh my God! Every topic has been covered.
Oh, so much.
I feel like there's a whole. Not, I was going to say sitcom. There must be a mini series about the mayor. Yeah. I feel like Denmark needs to move away from murder and get more into embezzlement.
It's embezzlement within the government.
Yes, listen, yes.
Isn't that what Borgen was about?
I think that character is going to provide some much needed comic relief in our new series, Satiated Cum Slut. I've just been texting while you were talking. I've had it optioned. And we're off to Hollywood, guys. We're going to Hollywood.
In my head, I'm trying to translate that to Danish.
Why?
No one would get it. No
Can
one
you say...
So your book, Sophie Happy Fat, is out now. Your show, The Bum Swing. Are you going all over the country?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's good. And where can people sure. follow you?
Oh, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. It's Sophie Hagen. Sophie Hagen with an F.
F for so fuck F, those guys.
Yeah,
oh, that's
fuck
right.
Fuck those guys. IEHGEN. But the main thing I want people to do is sign up for my newsletter. So it's not like a newsletter, but it's every other week I send out a letter. I sit down with a cup of tea. It's called Sophie Hagen sits down with a cup of tea and writes a letter. And I send it out. It's just me oversharing, telling secrets because I don't think people are reading. It's just more like, it's like a blog post, but only for the people who really want it.
Ah.
And then it's also got like tour announcements and stuff, but it's just me oversharing, talking about therapy, gender, my gender identity, like weird sex stories and dating stories, and it's my favorite thing to do because it feels like a nice little closed circle.
And people can read it at their leisure.
Oh, yeah. It sounds brilliant. I'm signing up. Sign
Excellent.
Me up.
SylviaHagen.com.
All right.
Done.
As usual, you know, comes to our show if you like.
Yeah, we've already sold out a lot of our shows for our 2020.
We're not showing off, Sophie. We're just, just staying a fact.
Manchester sold out. Thank you, Manchester. But no, we have, I think, over 30 gigs now on sale. And we're going to Camp Bestival, Ellie.
Yes, mate.
Which is very exciting. And the Retreat Festival, is that what it's called?
The Big Retreat in
the
Wales.
The Big Retreat in Wales, all those sort of things. What else do we want to say? We're running the marathon.
Yeah.
Come and sponsor us.
Whoops. I'm running for Born Charity, which is premature babies. Helen's running for Women's Aid. And if you go like on our website or on our Instagram, you can find a little link and you can just give us money. Just £1 could buy a premature baby a sock. I don't know. I've made it up. That's not even what they do. They research it. It's science. Anyway.
Listen to the podcast with Sophie Ellis-Bextor for more art details.
For more sensible explanation of the charity.
She's just a better person. Let's just say that.
she's had five children. For
I know.
She knows what she's talking about.
She's got some songs that she's released. We've got a book as well, Ellie.
Yes, it is.
Still in print. Excellent. And do follow us on Instagram, tell your friends, and always rate, review, and subscribe. We haven't even mentioned your podcast, which are excellent.
For God's sake.
Jesus Christ.
Made of Human. It's me talking to cool people.
Made of Human and Dinosaur.
Secret Dinosaur Cult, which is a queer non-binary led podcast about trauma and dinosaurs, and Daddy's leaving.
All right. Well, there we are. Thank you very much for coming on the podcast,
Thanks
Sophie Hagen.
Thanks so much for having me, despite me not being a mother.
Well, you know, we're not discriminating against you because you're fat. We're not going to do it because you're not a mother. I mean, that would feel hypocritical.
Just assumed.
Oh, not at all.
We've talked
Lovely
a lot about
you.
Motherhood. We're kind of, I think, we've yeah. covered it all. We've completed it.
I'd much rather talk about cum sluts. All right.
Hey.
Mothers can be hungry cum sluts too.
Oh. You don't need to tell me, dear. Oh, thank you very much for listening. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.
So Ellie likes soft furnishings, candles, a gentle throw, some nice cushions. And I said, has Ellie got good higgy? And Sophie looked very confused.
It's not a... I don't...
higgy. You actually said, is Ellie's room living room higgy enough?
I was really trying to...
Getting higgy with it.
Have I ever heard that word before? Is it slang? What is happening?
I think it's my racism.
I'm going to have a go at pronouncing it. It's a friend. Huger. Is that right? No? All right, you do.
You're closer.
Closer, okay.
Hickey over here.
It's the word, it's about H-Y-G-G-E, isn't it? Anyway, how do you...
Huger. It's not a... You're doing a... Huger.
My son is called... Hugo.
Oh, I love Hugo.
Hugo.
It's a Y, it's not a U.
Hugo.
I don't think you can do the sound. Hugo.
Hugo.
This is like ASMR. Is that what's happening? I'm just like, yes.
But yeah, someone listening to this is wanking furiously.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.